No, true faith is knowing that God loves you so much He gave His one and only begotten Son that He would not hold anything back from you that is good. That's faith. That's saying, you know what, God, I may not be feeling good today, but I know You love me, and I know that You're the great physician, and I know that You're going to heal me. And even if You don't heal me, God, You have a good reason for that. But I want to seek Your will in this situation because I trust You and I have faith.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is Overcoming Worry and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Okay, today's sermon is on worry and overcoming worry. And it is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'm reading now the NIV. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. This is a promise to Christians. This is not a promise to those who do not believe in Jesus. But our Father, right, is God. So this promise is to us. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. We worry about things over which we have no control. We worry about things over which we have no control. In Matthew 6:27, we just read this passage, but who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? No control. No control over what you worry. There are some things which are simply beyond our control. Now, I'm sure that you guys can look around in your own life and see that there are some things in your life that you have no control over, yet you worry about them. Some of the things that we worry about that we have no control over are other people or other people's business. But we seem to get ourselves caught up in other people's business, and we try to control that person or the people around them or the situations that those people are going through. And when we try to do that, we become anxious and worried and upset because we tried to get into something that we had no stewardship over. Does that make sense to everybody? That we try to control things that we have no control over and that causes worry. We start to worry about stuff that doesn't concern us. There's a lot to be said about minding your own business. It really does take away a lot of worry. There's lots of times when I see something going on and I think to myself, maybe I ought to get in the middle of that. But then part of me says, well, why should I even worry about that? Okay, because I don't have no control over it anyhow, so why should I get involved in the middle of it? Because it's none of my business, and all it's going to do is bring me worry. So we could not do anything about them, even if we tried. So even though we don't have any control over it, even if we tried to do something about some of the stuff that we worry about, we still couldn't do anything about it anyhow. So you can just worry yourself sick and get yourself into a fluster and just run yourself ragged and still not have any control over what's happening. And again, you're spending energy. And worry about these things that we have no control over, it not only doesn't change them, but it also robs us of the ability to deal with them when they do come. Okay, so you know, there's some things that you don't have any control over, and they're going to happen regardless. And you can worry yourself into such a frenzy that when the event finally takes place, you're not going to be able to handle it in the way that you should have been able to, because all of your energy is spent on the worry. Now, I don't think I need to tell anybody in here what that's like, because I'm sure that every person in here, including myself, has worried themselves sick about something and then really goofed things up when it actually took place because you couldn't handle it. You're just worn out. So Jesus' solution to this source of worry is implied in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Remember that you as a person are far more valuable than any other creature God has ever created, okay? Now, when we're Christians and we become believers, God becomes our Father, and we are extremely valuable to Him. How valuable are we to God? He didn't even spare His one and only begotten Son. So you can't put a price on that, can you? Secondly, we worry about things that do not really matter. So in Matthew 6:25, we read, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Now Jesus points out that some things are more important than others, such as living. Many of the things we worry about are simply not worth the effort. They're just not worth it. So you guys can run yourself ragged and find out that the thing that you were worried about really wasn't that important after all. And Jesus is saying that living your life worry-free is more important than running yourself ragged and wasting your life. Some people waste their life away worrying over stuff that doesn't even matter. Silly stuff. Silly stuff that doesn't even matter. So, much ado about nothing is the way Shakespeare put it. Ado means concern, fussing, stressing. So ask yourself, is that me? Do I get stressed out over stuff that doesn't even matter? Some people do. They can waste a whole day, a whole week, a whole month, a whole year, a whole lifetime worrying about stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, I have known people to come up with stuff to worry about. Invent things in their own mind. They'll have nothing to worry about in the world, and they'll sit there and contemplate and think and start stressing out about stuff that doesn't even matter. It's almost as if they got nothing better to do. Jesus says we can conquer worry over the unimportant by learning to seek first the kingdom of God. Now see, if you're in a state of worry, maybe you're not seeking God. The Greek word for worry literally means to be pulled in different directions. Isn't that something? When you're worried, your mind is going everywhere. Is it not? And you start feeling like I should do this, or maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I should do that. And you get all these decisions in your mind, and they start pulling you. And then you start to worry because you don't know which direction to take. But again, Jesus says that if we seek first the kingdom of God, now see, when we're seeking the kingdom of God, we're to be seeking Jesus Christ. When we start fellowshipping with Him and bringing these worries to Him, that's seeking the kingdom, because the kingdom comes by Jesus Christ. So that's one way to conquer these worries, these fears, these concerns. By aiming our lives in one direction and learning to put first things first, we can reduce some of the artificial self-made anxieties of life. Now notice the term artificial and self-made. Artificial and self-made. A lot of the stuff that we worry about is being conjured up in our own mind. Now, I'm not saying the devil won't come to you and mess with you, because the devil will do that. He will come to you.
But if you're seeking Christ, if you're praying to God and you're reading His Word and you're asking for wisdom and you're listening to biblical counsel, your worries are going to disappear because you're going to know that God's got your back. Regardless if the devil's planting it in your head, if you're doing it to yourself, and sometimes the devil can see you be worried about something and he can add to it. But the point is that seeking the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, that answers this concern for our worries. Now, I understand from experience that I can tell people this and they still won't grasp it. Or they'll get it, but they won't apply it. I can promise you this. You can have hundreds of millions of dollars in your bank account. You can have all the houses, all the cars, all the pretty stuff that you want, everything you need, and you can still find a reason to worry if you're not in the grace of God through Christ. If you're not seeking God, if you're not applying God's word to your life, fellowshipping with God through His Son Jesus, through prayer, through reading His Word, if you're not doing these things, no matter how rich you are, you're going to find something to worry about. If you don't believe me, then turn on your TV to these reality shows and watch how these celebrities and these rich folk act when they get stressed. And they got all this money and they still stress out, don't they? Don't they? Yeah. So, without God, you can't really conquer worrying. Now, understand something about what Jesus is saying here. This is a commandment not to worry. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. We are commanded not to worry. We worry about things that have not yet happened. In Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you guys sit in bed in the middle of the night, not sleeping, because you're worried about tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year? You guys don't even know if it's going to rain tomorrow. All week long, people have been telling me that it was going to snow, rain, sunny. I had so many different weather reports, including from the actual weather center on the internet. Nobody was right. Nobody. They can't even predict the weather for this afternoon and get it 100% right. We, as humans, think that we have it all planned out. I know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow and who I'm going to be doing it with. No, you don't. You have an idea. You have a plan, but that doesn't make it 100% sure. How many of you guys come up to me and says, man, I was going to do this, but then this happened. Man, I wanted to do that, but then this happened. Okay? So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you guys in here right now know that today you have enough troubles? You have enough problems right now. Right this minute, you have things that you need to be dealt with. Now, hold on. Listen, you guys got stuff right now. Each and every one of you right now, you guys have stuff that you haven't dealt with because you're worried about the stuff tomorrow. Now, let me put this into context. You sit down and you start thinking about all the stuff that should have been done yesterday that you need to do right now, today. You need to do it. You need to deal with it today. But you're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow that you just give up on the things that you're worried about today. That's robbing you of your life. Because what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'll get to that, but man, I just can't handle this. And you start piling stuff on. You pile stuff on. You start worrying about what's going to happen. Well, tomorrow I got this going on, and tomorrow I got that going on. You know, and today I'm just kind of free. I think I'm just going to sit here and watch TV and enjoy myself and stress out the whole time you're watching that show. Now, you might be fooling yourself thinking, well, I'm enjoying this TV show. In the back of your mind, you're worried about all those things you're not dealing with because today has enough trouble for itself. Today has enough trouble for itself. So what if are the two most worry-filled words in the English language? How many of you guys go, what if? Come on, when you guys think about a problem, you go, well, what if, and what if that, and oh man, what if? The what if is a big factor. When you start asking yourself that question, you start imagining things that may or may never happen, okay? So anxious speculation over the future does not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it does empty today of its joys. You understand that? Anxious speculation over the future does not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it does empty today of its joys. In other words, you can worry about this all day long and think about it all day long. If something's going to happen tomorrow, it's going to happen tomorrow, regardless of what you got to think about it. And you're going to rob yourself of today's joy. You're going to sit back and you're going to worry about everything that may or may not happen in the future, and you're going to ruin right now. Even when we know something is going to happen, our fear and dread of it is almost worse than the thing itself. We know something is going to happen. Our fear and dread of it is almost always worse than the thing itself. You see a problem coming, and you start imagining how bad it's going to be. And when it finally arrives, you go, oh, that wasn't so bad. So even when we know something is going to happen, our fear and dread of it is almost always worse than the thing itself. So Christ's answer to worry over the future is found in verse 34. We worry about things of legitimate concern. Not everything you worry about is something that you don't have a legitimate concern about. There are some serious things that go on in your life that you do worry about. As this text suggests, there are some challenges of life that are real, that are of real substance. There are the physical necessities of food, clothing, shelter. Who doesn't need food, clothes, and shelter, right? You guys need those things, don't you? There are the difficult circumstances that can threaten us. There's people out there that may want to hurt you. There are things in your life that are going on that could hurt you. So these are legitimate things. They're not made up. You're not exaggerating these things. God is fully aware of this, that there are some serious things in your life that can come and threaten you. Yet, Jesus says even these things are not worthy of worry because they are things God is perfectly willing and able to assist us with. What father doesn't want to feed, clothe, and house his children? Your heavenly Father knows of your needs. See, I know what you guys think when you get worried. And you could be like, how does James read my mind? When you guys have a problem pop up out of nowhere, immediately you guys forget about God because you think he's forgotten about you. So you run to the phone instead of running to the throne. There's some things that nobody can help you with but God. And he'll allow you into those situations to prove that point. But seriously, your heavenly Father knows your needs. Now see, a lot of people don't believe that. They think that because they were caught off guard, God was cut off guard. Well, God didn't see that coming. How could he have seen that coming? Believe me, God knows everything that you're going to go through in your life before you were even born. He already had your entire life mapped out. He knew every single mistake that you were going to make, and he knew every single right thing you were going to do. He also knew that he had to set up circumstances to catch you before you fall. Now, you might drift down a little bit and feel like you're going to hit rock bottom, but he's got a safety net there for you. And sometimes when you see that big pit that you're about to fall into, or maybe you are drifting into it a little bit, you don't see that safety net that God's put up for you. That's called faith. That's called faith. Now, there's people that I've known that you would think that they were done in for because something tragic happened to them. Maybe their job was taken away, or maybe their family was taken away. And you thought, man, how could God save these people? And he's done it. He's done it. I know. I've seen these people. I'm one of these people. Okay? He promises that if we seek first his kingdom, these genuine needs will be supplied. See, there's conditions to promises, aren't there? Do you just spoil a child? You just give your kid anything that they want? No. There's a condition. Because if you're not seeking the kingdom of God, then you're living an unrighteous life. If you're breaking the Ten Commandments as a lifestyle, or any of them, committing adultery, stealing, lying, whatever it is, do you think God is obligated to take care of your every single need? When he just said that you have to seek first his kingdom, there's a condition, right? So when you look at your life and you see something that's not in order, are you seeking the kingdom? Are you seeking the kingdom? Now, see, I had a really big problem with tithing. You guys aren't the only ones, and not everybody in here has a problem with tithing. I had a problem with it when I was a young Christian. See, I had this thought that the church wasn't going to use the money appropriately that I was giving them. That was one of my thoughts. Another thought was, is I don't have enough money to give God. But I noticed that as I did give money, blessings started to outweigh the money I was giving. And that's not the motivation, though, to give to the church. But when I started seeking God's kingdom in giving, you catch this? That's when the blessings turned on. Because I got to the point in my heart where I said, I want to do something that's right for God. And God has told me to give 10% of everything that I get in of my first fruits. Everything. Because everything that comes in that's increased, 10% goes to God. But I didn't do that because I wanted something out of God. I got to the point with my money where I said to God, even if you keep me in poverty, you can still have 10% of everything I have. Because I realized something about not tithing. I was worried. What was I worried about? I was worried about myself. Because I realized that because I was hanging on to money, it was becoming my God. Now, some of you are thinking, how can money become your God? When you start disobeying the word of God pertaining to anything in your life, that object has just become your God. And that's where the worry starts. Because basically what the money was telling me in the beginning was, if you give to the church, you won't have enough to make it to the end of the month. You won't be able to save anything for yourself. Well, trust me, when you're disobedient to God and you're one of his children, you can't save money for very long without God teaching you a lesson that it's his money. So if you rob God after he's commanded you to pay your tenth, you're going to start to worry. Because you're going to start seeing God's judgment on your finances. And a lot of people don't like to hear stuff about their finances. A lot of people don't want to get funny with their money. They don't like that. But see, I don't preach anything up here that I haven't gone through. And I lived in extreme poverty until I realized that I was cheating God, and I felt bad for that. And I started looking at things saying, you know, God's been so good to me. Why am I so stingy with him? And see, when it gets into your heart, what you're supposed to do, and you start seeking the kingdom of God in that way, because that's how we seek it, through a relationship, not through a religion, you're going to see the word of God working in your life. So the key to not worrying is seeking God's kingdom. It's not just trying to seek fellowship with him, but it's also applying his word to your life. That's seeking the kingdom. You want the kingdom to be working for you? You want to be a part of that kingdom? You have got to be an active participant in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Sorry. I sat in the garage all day one day watching my car get repaired, and I did not learn a thing. But one day, a guy took me out, and he spent 2 hours with me, and he taught me how to change my oil and some other things. And he had me do that. I was applying what he showed me, and I learned it. Okay? So I can tell you all day long what you need to do biblically. But if you don't read the word for yourself and go out and practice it, you're not going to get very good at doing it. And see, what I hate to see is I hate to see people worried all the time, concerned about stuff that doesn't even bother them. Okay, so we get the point here, right? If you're seeking God's will for your life and you're working for the kingdom of God and you're applying God's word, that's going to eliminate a lot of worry. There's a rebuke in this. Did you guys know there's a rebuke in this passage? You know what a rebuke is? That's where God sets you straight. He tells you you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing or not doing something you should be doing. To worry is to have little faith. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, that's in verse 30 of Matthew 6. I'm going to tell you something, guys. There was many a nights that I was up worrying about stuff before I ever met any of you guys. And I wanted to hear the good parts of this scripture, but God gave me that part right there, O you of little faith. He was rebuking me because I was at a point in my Christian walk where I had already seen God's work in my life, and I knew that he would take care of me, but I didn't have the faith. Knowing something and believing something are two different things. Because you can know something and not believe it. No, I'm serious. People can come up to you and tell you what God has done for them, and you won't believe it. Yeah, right, whatever. Coincidence. Come on. Come on, right now, if you guys think about something miraculous that somebody told you about, you know in your heart you said, I don't believe that. They're crazy. Man, that stuff never happens to me. Oh, it never happens to you, so it can never happen to them. I've never seen nothing like that. Well, maybe you never believed for something like that. Do you guys catch what I'm saying? Oh, you of little faith. Because in my heart, this is where the scripture hangs. Oh, you of little faith. Because if you apply faith to any circumstance, to any situation in your life, you will see the work of God. See, what you guys don't understand is something that God doesn't work by your works. God doesn't work because you're a good person. God's not doing things for you because you're good. By faith are we saved, not by works, lest any man boast. You think God wants you bragging that you got something out of him because you're a good person? There's no one good but God. So what I'm trying to get across here is that no faith, you're going to have worries. If you guys go to the doctor and you have no faith in him healing you, you're going to leave there worried about your condition just as much as you did when you got there. Amen? When you guys don't have faith, you're going to worry. When you guys believe that God isn't in control, that's pride. That's pride. That makes you guys believe that you can do something about your circumstances. That makes you believe that you're in control. And when you're in control, deep down inside, you know you really can't control it. And that's scary, isn't it? Because now you're thinking, well, wait a minute, what if God really isn't in control? Which means, well, that means I'm in control and I can't control this. Or you guys get a bad picture of God and you say to yourself, well, what if God is in control? And what if God really wants to hurt me? What if God wants to do this bad thing to me? That's not the God of the Bible. I don't read anything in there where God picks on his children. Do you pick on your kids? Do you come up with bad things you can do to your children to hurt them? That's not God. No, true faith is knowing that God loves you so much he gave his one and only begotten son that he would not hold anything back from you that is good. That's faith. That's saying, you know what, God, I may not be feeling good today, but I know you love me and I know that you're the great physician and I know that you're going to heal me. And even if you don't heal me, God, you have a good reason for that. I don't know what it is, God, but I want to seek your will in this situation because I trust you and I have faith that you're going to answer my prayers according to your good will. See, I want everybody to get to that plane and above it to where you guys put so much trust in God that your life counts for nothing. Because you're going to lose your life anyways if you seek it. The Bible says you seek your life, you're going to lose it. Because you're going to be worried about everything. Everything comes up, you're going to be worried. Worried. And you're going to look back in the years and you're going to think, where did all the years go? You worried them away. Got no joy out of them. You live for tomorrow's worries and troubles instead of enjoying today. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 reads this. It reads, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious, guys. But in everything by prayer and petition. Pray about it. Petition God. Ask him. With thanksgiving. Don't come to God and say, well, you always do this, you always do that. No, go to God with a thankful heart. You know what, God? I thank you I got out of bed today. You know, God, I thank you I have a roof over my head. You know, God, I thank you I had breakfast this morning. You know, God, I thank you that you gave your son Jesus Christ for me. God, I just thank you that you're here with me right now. Present your request to God with thanksgiving. Don't come to him grumbling. Don't come to him moping and all, oh, life is miserable. Why do you do this? Don't come to God thinking that if you don't help me, I'll just handle it my way and come up with something that's unbiblical to do whatever it is that's worrying you. Don't be doing that stuff to God. Come to him thankfully. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, what does this say? When you do these things, you're applying the Word of God to your situation, and then God is going to come down, and He's going to fellowship with you, and you're going to get this peace, because you're going to know that God is in control, because you just asked Him to take control. See, prayer isn't about ordering God to do something. Prayer is about having a conversation with God, and it's a two-way conversation. If you guys come up to me and you just talk, and walk away, you're going to get nothing out of me, because I'm not going to have a chance to tell you anything because you guys walked away. So when you come to God, you have to come to God in prayer. You have to come to God in a conversation. You have to seek His face. So you don't want to be anxious about anything. And this is written to the church of the Philippi, and it was written by Paul. You guys really need to be reading what Paul went through, because Paul went through a lot of sufferings for Christ. And this man is telling you to be anxious for nothing and thankful about everything. Everything you should be thankful for. Even the bad stuff. That doesn't mean you like the bad stuff, but you should be thankful that God is in there with you with that bad stuff. Because all the bad stuff that happens to you, you can't blame that on God. You blame that on the fallen world. Okay, so 1 Peter 5:7 reads, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You can lay it all on God." And He says to cast all of your anxiety. Does He say cast a little bit of your anxiety? Does He say cast some of your anxiety? He says cast all of your anxiety. But see, without faith, you can't do that, can you? Because you don't believe that God is going to answer. You know what, you guys, God doesn't understand. I can't give this to God. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know how I feel. He's God. He's perfect. He's never suffered. Yes, He has. Yes, He has. He chose to suffer. Any one of us given a chance to not suffer, we'd take the way out, wouldn't we? No, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I preach this stuff, and I just pray every day that you guys get it, because there is a real God, and He's a real person, and He wants to be with you, and He wants to share all your problems. He knows everything that you got going on in your life right now. He knows all your personality quirks. He knows all your hurts, all your pains, all your sufferings. He knows you're angry with Him when you're angry with Him, because some of you are angry with God without a cause. Because God is perfect, He's all good, but some of us in here, we're angry with God. There are Christians who are angry with God, and they won't come to Him. They're afraid of God. Well, what if I do this and He doesn't do anything about it? What can God do for me anyways? God can bring people into your life to help you with your problem or to comfort you. He can send the person out of your life that's causing you the problem. He can come in His Spirit and soothe you and give you peace. The trick, though, is to be seeking God when you're not having problems. But see, if you're seeking God constantly, man, God's going to be there. Boom. You know what? The reality is God's already there. He's already conquered the world.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.